Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One of North America's only true castles is tucked into the hills of Vermont. It's become known for its hundreds of rare artifacts, beautiful stained glass, and the restless spirits that dwell within. From unexplained music echoing through the halls to shadowy figures and voices that answer when no one's there, this castle has earned its spooky reputation, and we spent the night inside all 13,131 square feet of it. This week's episode is Wilson Castle, Vermont's Haunted Estate.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Well, it's our Halloween episode. It's the week of Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to everybody. Hope your Halloween week is going splendidly.
I hope it's going as good as your favorite Halloween candy, and that wherever you are, that you got given a piece of it, whether at work, at school, wherever, that someone was like, hey, you want a Snickers? Or hey, do you want an Almond Joy?
You're like, yeah, I do.
Fuck yeah, I do. It's that time of year. Give me a tiny crunch bar that's this big that I eat in one bite. Absolutely. It is.
But that means you get to eat five.
Exactly.
And it's just one.
Exactly. Exactly. And you take it. And then what my mom used to do would be like, dump out your Halloween candy. And then she would go, ugh, these Hershey's Darks. You don't like these. Hershey Dark Chocolate. Come on. Because she loved them. And I was like, I don't like them. And then I grew up and was like, I do.
As a kid, I didn't like dark chocolate either. Yeah. But I do as an adult.
It's an acquired taste.
It is. It's more taste. More of an adult taste, but they knew what they were doing. The adults got to have some candy in there too.
100%. Well, we've been Halloweening it all month long. Our show, Season of the Witch, has been streaming on the platform Kiswi. And if you have not watched it yet, you only have literally this week. It is flying away Halloween night at 11:59 p.m. at midnight. So Same. Watch it now.
Watch the skies. For me, on my lubed up broom, just
hell yeah,
sailing away.
It definitely gives another meaning to defying gravity when you know about witches and broomsticks. So check it out. Go to sinisterhead.com/live shows. And we're leaving this weekend to set sail for Crime Wave at Sea. So shout out to everybody that's going. We cannot wait to see you. We cannot wait to check in with you from the ship. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a whirlwind of a fun time filled with themed parties and meetups with fans, podcasts, crossovers, game show, karaoke, all the just regular cruise stuff.
Oh, man. I'm told that there's buffets, and I'm like, I'm a return tripper to the buffets, always with a clean plate, but I will return back, and I am thoroughly
you
excited.
Shall.
Sure, return I shall. So I cannot wait. So we'll see all y'all aboard this week coming up, man.
I know.
Can't believe it's already here. Whew, whew. And just before we leave, though, we are doing one last stream because there's no Sunday Scaries because we're going to be flying to Florida, but you can check out Thursday, October 30th at 8:30 p.m., we are doing our annual Halloween Eve movie watch along. And the votes are, there's a couple of competitors in this lineup.
Last night, it was a neck and neck between Velocipaster and Sofa.
Killer sofa.
Killer sofa.
Yes. So
where are we at now?
The current votes. Well, yeah. And we had me pull it up during Sunday Scaries, which I then had us like echoing on ourselves. But right now, the votes still seem to be tied. Not quite tied, but VelociPastor 41%. Killer Sofa, 38%. So okay. Llamageddon is just barely trailing in there at 21%. So if you feel strongly about any of these films, go over to our website. Go over to Patreon and cast your vote and join us tomorrow night, Thursday, October 30th, 8:30 p.m. Central. It's going to be a hoot.
Whatever gets chosen, it's going to be ridiculous. So,
there's
no wrong answers here.
I'm interested in the person that said I had an asthma attack watching Velociraptor or VelociPastor.
VelociPastor, oh man, that they all have so much potential. I truly can't imagine the plots and the storyboards for any of them, especially Killer Sofa. So that one almost seems the scariest.
Exactly, because we all have sofas that we sit on. Very rarely do I come in contact with a Velociraptor or a llama.
Never have.
So, yeah, not once, but maybe
a sofa every day.
Yeah, I sit on a sofa a lot. And
llamas, a couple times a year, maybe.
Yeah, you have to go out of your way to see a llama, certainly. Not with the sofa. So, yeah, whichever you think is scariest, go vote on Patreon and hang out with us Thursday the 30th at 8:30 Central. And we'll have the replay up afterwards if you can't join live, but join live because it's so much more fun with you in the chat.
And we'll definitely be eating candy.
So much. Yeah, we got to do some Halloween candy for sure. Get a little like a charcuterie tray or like, but yes. All different candies. Today we're talking about our haunted adventure.
What a fun time we had. We were just reminiscing about Vermont and how lovely it is. The people, the weather, everything.
The castles.
Just nice up there. The castles. Yeah. Everything's great up there. Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't wait for everyone to learn about Wilson Castle. And then if you are within traveling distance, to go there yourself and see it. The wintertime, less easy to access. But when it's open during the summer, it is a sprawling estate. And it's astounding what they have within their walls.
The wintertime could turn into a Shining situation.
You could 100%.
You could get trapped there and things go wrong.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like, we got to close this bitch in the winter, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, and nobody gets a typewriter. Nobody build a maze of any sort. Yeah.
Like, Heather, do you want to come be our winter caretaker and you can work on a novel while you're up here? I'm like, hang on a minute.
I've seen this film before.
And I didn't like the ending. But I love this ending because we filmed our time there. And you can now go to our YouTube channel and watch a video that Paris cut together. It's incredible.
A great job.
What you'll hear about this will give you the backstory on it, and then you get to see how we got haunted.
Yes, I watching it remembered things that I didn't remember being there at the time, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot that happened. So he did an excellent job, and Nelson, as always, was an excellent guide to carry us through everything from potential bats and raccoons to ghosts and beyond. He was there.
He's always there, a steady hand. And shout out to Andy, who works at Wilson Castle, as well as Brooklyn, our tour guide. Everybody was so kind to us, so welcoming, and so knowledgeable. It's a family, you're going to hear. It's really a family endeavor. So go to our YouTube channel, watch the video of us there. And we were both like, it was more fun watching this than even going there because we didn't have to stay up all night to watch this. So it's like you were there, but without all the exhaustion the next day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Wilson Castle, formerly known as Johnson's Folly, is a 19th century estate in Proctor, Vermont, with a storied history. It is often called Vermont's only real castle, made famous for its eclectic European-style architecture and the colorful history of its builders and owners that spans a century and a half. Prior to the castle's construction, the site was a tract of farmland and woodland in the rolling foothills west of Rutland. In the 1880s, a Vermont-born physician named Dr. John Johnson acquired roughly 150 acres of this land, drawn by its high elevation and sweeping mountain views.
I didn't really realize we were near the mountains. We're like 30 minutes to drive to different ski places.
It's gorgeous, too. And everywhere you look, it's just forest. And we saw so many lightning bugs out over the fields. It was gorgeous.
Rolling.
I always have questions for people that have the last name Johnson and then choose to name their children John.
They're like, John. And he's like, really, you guys? You couldn't have gone with anything else?
Will Wilson. Anything yeah. where it's like your last name still, but it's also your first name. I got some questions for people like that. Write us in, Freaky Friday. If you yes. are a John Johnson.
A Tommy Thompson.
Christie's.
I don't Christy Christensen.
Christy Christensen. Heather Heatherton.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I want to meet Heather Heatherton.
Heather Heatherton?
She lives in this castle.
She very well may. There were no structures on the property at that time. It was essentially open countryside. Dr. Johnson had traveled to London to pursue medical studies. There, he met and married one of his patients, Lady Sarah Robbins, later Lady Johnson. She was a wealthy aristocratic woman, though some accounts described her as having mental or other disabilities which impacted her decision-making. According to the Burlington Free Press, Lady Sarah refused to return to Vermont with her new husband unless he built her a castle.
And some people have argued that Dr. Johnson was really like a flim-flam man and maybe was, you know, picked a patient that he thought didn't have the best decision-making skills or could be taken advantage of to kind of say, you have how much money? Oh, I'm so in love with you suddenly. Mm. And would you like to build a huge castle in Vermont or move back home with me? And she's like, I'm not moving unless I have somewhere nice to stay.
Fuck yeah. I don't think she's got problems making decisions at all. I too would be like, I'll move for a castle.
Yeah, I have standards.
How's a lady supposed to live not in a castle?
Exactly.
It's built into her name. Johnson used Sarah's fortune for their new dream project, an elaborate country manor that would resemble a European castle built in the Green Mountains. Construction on the mansion began around 1885 and lasted roughly 7.5 years. Dr. Johnson spared no expense. By the time it was completed, an astronomical $1.3 million had been spent, equivalent to nearly $50 million in today's dollars.
The reports were that he was making it rain. Like, it was just like, yeah, whatever the nicest thing is, I want that.
Hey, mm-hmm. For his lady, but also, yeah. He's using his lady's money. So, yeah, you know, exactly. It's kind of a...
I got you this gift, and you're like, mm-hmm. with my debit card, though.
Yes.
You see yeah. how this isn't a gift.
No, it's... One of those things where maybe he gave her some surprises, though, that in today's $50 million would be, I mean, that's an incredible amount of money. Back then, to have like the equivalent of that back then was mm-hmm. ridiculous.
Sinister Hood will be right back. You know that hoodie you can't stop reaching for? The one that feels like a second skin? It's soft, it's warm, and it somehow makes you feel more grounded? Well, I found mine, and let me just tell you, it's not what you expect. It's called Paka, spelled P-A-K-A. And if you're tired of hoodies that stretch out, pill, or feel heavy, this is the upgrade you've been waiting for.
Paka makes performance apparel from alpaca fiber, one of the world's most sustainable natural fibers. Their best-selling hoodie is softer than cashmere, warmer than wool, and breathable enough to wear year-round. It's lightweight but cozy, adapts to the weather, and it won't stretch out or pill. This is a hoodie built for real life, thermoregulating, odor-resistant, durable, and made to last.
I love it. Each one is handcrafted in Peru with the artisan's name stitched into the tag as a mark of quality and care. Shout out to Olga for making my hoodie. Over 100,000 people have already picked up the Paka hoodie, not only because it feels amazing, because it's made sustainably and ethically from traceable alpaca fibers while supporting communities that create it. You know, these are not from Llamageddon llamas. These are from legit alpacas. And this is, in my opinion, tell
legit
me if I'm
alpacas.
Wrong. Feels great. We love how they feel. But this would be such a good gift for somebody that you're like, I don't know what to get this person. Because it's something that regardless gender, age, whatever, I feel like it's such a cozy hug. And it's so classy that someone's gonna be like, okay.
Yeah. I feel like anybody of any age, of any gender could wear this. And
it's phenomenal.
It also comes with what I'm going to say are my most favorite pair of socks I've ever put on. I wore them Saturday night. And it was rainy, and I had on those socks with some rain boots. And I was like, my feet feel so toasty and dry in these things. Oh,
head
they were
toe.
So good. Yes.
Head to toe.
Right now, when you order a pack of hoodie, they're going to throw in a free pair of their alpaca crew socks. I mean, just for that alone. And if you get it as a gift, then, well, just you could either keep the socks yourself or you get a little stocking stuffer or another mm-hmm. little gift to give on the side. It's like a 2-for-1.
Hell yeah.
It's maybe the only thing better than the hoodie itself are these socks. The socks keep your feet dry. They resist odor. They're so super cozy, and they come with a lifetime guarantee. If you've been waiting to upgrade your hoodie game and your sock game, this is your sign to do it.
Do it. To grab your Paca hoodie and free pair of Alpaca Crew socks, head to go.pacaapparel.com/creepy and use our code creepy. That's go.pacaapparel.com/creepy and enter code creepy.
Master craftsmen like German and Italian woodworkers and painters were brought in from Europe to execute the ornate interior finishes. The result was a sprawling three-story, 32-room mansion, blending numerous architectural styles from the Victorian era. Its exterior was constructed of red brick imported from England, despite Vermont's own brick kilns nearby, and trimmed with French marble. Locals found these design choices extravagant and puzzling. In fact, the English bricks proved poorly suited to Vermont's freeze-slash-thaw climate and began to deteriorate over time, a detail the Johnsons' neighbors would point to in mockery.
That is kind of like a fuck you if you come to a town where you're like, oh, I know you guys make bricks here, but they're garbage, so I'll be importing them. And then immediately the imported bricks start fucking up and the other people are like, oh, our bricks are garbage? Really? Because yours are falling off.
It makes sense, though, that they're two very different climates, Vermont in the winter and England in the winter.
Yeah, there's a reason why they make their bricks that way, buddy. Yeah. But Dr. John Johnson knew better.
bricks got to be made different depending on where they're going to be. That makes sense. The structure featured multiple gables, turrets, and a fortified look, truly earning the title of castle. Inside, the castle was filled with opulence. There were 84 stained glass windows filtering light into its halls and 13 fireplaces with hand-carved mantles and imported tile and bronze fittings.
Man, that the fireplace at the base of the stairs that's right in, when you walk in and mm-hmm. it's sort of near the gift shop. Man, that's so nice. We were rubbing our hands on it, feeling on it. And one of them's got a tiger head. You can put your hand in the tiger's mouth. I mean, it is detailed. I was like, somebody sat here and whittled this.
Very much so. And the lore is that if you dare to stick your fingers in the tiger's mouth, because it could. And I'm a logical person, but when I did stick my two fingers in that wooden tiger's mouth for a second, I was like, I'm gonna lose these.
Right? I was like, I'm gonna lose these. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I can feel the ridges on the roof of the tiger's mouth. Or the lion's mouth or whatever. It's like, that's how detailed it is.
And then you think, how many other people have rubbed their fingers on the roof of that mouth?
Meanwhile, that tiger's like, yeah.
Oh.
He loves it.
It has fuck mouth moon energy for sure. The estate was not limited to the main house. Dr. Johnson oversaw the construction of 19 outbuildings across the grounds, including brick stables and several specialized barns. He built a large glass conservatory for exotic plants and an aviary for ornamental birds. Johnson then stocked the estate with animals from around the world, like deer, pheasants, and peacocks, to lend the property the ambiance of an English country park. By around 1892, the Grand Castle and its grounds were complete.
Just a Noah's Ark situation. Like, bring two of each. I want to see what happens.
We're about to have some animals in this area that we normally don't see. And sometimes that can go badly if they start procreating too much. But seemed like he kept them all on his land, so we didn't have a influx of peacocks all of a sudden that, like, fucked up the ecosystem in Vermont.
Plus, see, that aviary was enclosed. You and I did not walk over there due to the mosquitoes were swarming us.
Ooh, but they do love a mosquito in Vermont. We thought we had them big, but bless y'all's are on some kind of steroid up there. Ooh, yeah, Lordy. We
were there in June, and it had just flooded a couple of days or weeks before that, so there was water everywhere, and it was the mosquitoes were aggressive. And when we started out toward the aviary, we were like, Paris, let us know what it's like. And he just marched on out there and took footage for us. So we're like, thank you.
Thank you very much. The castle quickly earned the mocking nickname Johnson's Folly among locals, a commentary on both the project's excess and the hubris of its builder. Unfortunately for Dr. Johnson, the label proved prophetic. Not long after the mansion was finished and furnished, the money ran out. Family accounts say that Sarah's relatives were alarmed by the endless flow of cash into the Proctor Castle and eventually cut off the funds. According to the on-site tour, two of Sarah's brothers traveled from England to intervene. They saw the extravagant project and concluded that Johnson had duped their sister. They urged her to leave him.
I mean, if you are like, who is this man you just married? And then you realize that her whole, you know, third of the inheritance or whatever her percentage has been eat up by unnecessarily importing bricks like across the country. Yeah. I'm like, was this like a money laundering situation? Were you like owner of the brick kiln in England or something? Like, how did this work out?
It sounds very Money Pit with yes. Tom Hanks. And you're, by the time it's finished, you're like, I want nothing to do with this place. Let's just sell it or burn it to the ground. One of the two.
Johnson's like, my folly. You're like, yeah, bitch. They put your name on it. They literally said that guy's an idiot that built a house on the hill.
Just as she was prepared to leave, Sarah Johnson died suddenly. Some sources say she fell ill and headed back to England, where she passed away in the 1890s. With his wife gone and her fortune inaccessible, Dr. Johnson could no longer afford the upkeep, taxes, or staff for his massive estate. The castle was sold, and Dr. Johnson ended up in the nearby town of Proctor, effectively a broken man by 1896. Johnson's folly now stood as empty.
Meanwhile, the people in the town are like, fucking, ha ha!
God, you're like, listen, my wife left. She died. I have nothing. I get it. It was a folly. Please stop throwing it in my face.
And then he trips and falls, and they're like, more like Johnson's folly. And he's like, God damn it. I got to leave this town.
He's never going to get it. Yeah, you got to leave, Johnson. You got to get out of there.
Come on.
After the Johnsons left, the castle changed hands about 16 times in 5 decades, often due to the expense of maintaining it. One colorful legend holds that the castle was even lost in a poker game at one point, with one of its many owners having gambled the deed away on a bet. It was proposed as a presidential summer home for several commanders-in-chief, though none accepted the invite. For a brief period, its basement served as a makeshift local jail. Then, in 1930, the castle was briefly home to a residential cosmetology school. Is it Ellie?
I think she said Ellie Academy. Ellie?
I can never remember what a little dash means. Mm-mm. Then in 1930, the castle was briefly home to a residential cosmetology school, the Ellie Academy of Beauty Culture.
This place had just
they were just trying anything to get people in there. Man, a presidential summer retreat doesn't sound bad. Sounds better than the ballroom that's being constructed currently in the White House.
With the crazy bunker or whatever it is underneath the server farm that's going to be under. But for real, they the owner at that time sent letters to, like, I think it was not Calvin Coolidge, somebody like whatever the presidents were in the early days, being like, we got a place. It's a whole fucking castle. It's very remote. And the presidents were like, thank you, but no thank you. We're going to go.
It's so remote that we feel like we can't go out there.
No thanks.
But we truly might be taken by something in the woods.
Oh, you never know what's out there. Well, and I think the person that won this in a bet, you're like, oh, yeah, I want a fucking castle. And then they're like, it costs $1 million to heat it. Like, it is a literal castle. Good luck.
Yeah. Like, you're like, fuck. Oh, this sounds like the beginning of some rom-com.
Yeah. She was a crazy lady playing poker, and he was a ghost that lived in a castle.
Oh, and then that's how we get that Christmas Hallmark movie where the ghost and the lady fuck.
That's right. What was it called? The Spirit of Christmas. Go back and watch her Hallmark After Dark.
She felt the Spirit of Christmas that year.
Oof, I want to feel that Spirit of Christmas, man.
By the late 1930s, the beauty school venture had ended, and the castle once again went on the market. Finally, in 1939, salvation arrived in the form of a new owner with a very different vision. Colonel Herbert Lee Wilson, an Army intelligence officer who had been raised the son of a Missouri farmer, saw the place while out on a drive and was enchanted. Colonel Wilson served in the military and during his service picked up dozens of valuable pieces while on his worldwide travels to over 60 countries. While working in intelligence, the colonel was party to key information that Germany planned to bomb New York City in the early stages of World War II. He told the Burlington Free Press he needed somewhere to hide out in case of an attack, saying,
"We had to have a place for all the pieces we had collected, and the farther away from Manhattan, the better we'd be."
While on a trip through Vermont in 1939, the colonel saw the castle and bought it for just $12,000. When he got home, he told his wife Helen and their three daughters,
"I bought a little place in Vermont."
He failed to mention it was a castle with 32 rooms. When she found out the size of his new venture, Helen thought he was crazy.
The colonel is giving Heather McKinney vibes.
"Hey, I just bought a small place while I was out on some on a walk. I was running earlier and I just bought a mansion because I saw it."
I like that he said a little place and to be like, "It was only $12,000. She's like,
"I mean, he got a deal."
Yeah, truly. And then they're like, "And it's how much to heat it? And there's literally no electricity. Oh, fuck.
But I saved so much on buying it. So really, it would have been stupid not to buy it."
And saying that you own a castle, priceless. So $12,000, steal.
Yeah. Rumors of war persisted in the colonel's circles in New York. So the family started making plans to turn the castle into a refuge for people fleeing the soon-to-be decimated Big Apple. The colonel recalled to the Free Press in 1975.
"Germany was getting pretty frisky. I was concerned the Germans would come in and knock the heck out of New York with its submarines."
Mrs. Wilson bought enough sheets and pillows to accommodate 63 overnight guests, which would have filled the castle.
Like, having a remote bunker that you could help save your friends in, like, goals all the way. And then it becomes haunted.
when you have a remote bunker and your friends are good people, then that's a great plan.
I cannot think of 63 people I would save in the event of an apocalypse. Personally, with me. Maybe I could.
I can't imagine making 63 beds. Dude, like, putting sheets and stuff on that many beds. Maybe you pass them out as they arrive. Like, welcome, here are your fresh new sheets. What a nice thing to do, buy sheets for everybody.
Yeah, you can have them and then put them on the bed.
And
when
then
you
have to make your bed yourself. And
yeah.
Y'all got to fight for which room you get.
Otherwise, Helen Wilson is folding 63 sets of fitted sheets and then just launches herself off the turret because it's like, nope.
You can't. That's the first ghost because she dies while folding fitted sheets.
Due
that's
to
just
anger.
That's all her headstone
she
says.
She orbited to the moon. It was crazy. We don't know how she did it.
I get it. I've come to the realization that I will never know how to successfully fold one of those in my lifetime.
There's a lot of things I don't know how to do, and I'm okay with it because I know that we can't all be good at everything. And folding fitted sheets, I can't be good at that, and that's okay. I tried my hardest. Some things I can't spatially understand, although I'm sure we will receive some well-meaning folks that are like, "It's just two steps. All you need is three steps." Heard that? Well,
watch so many videos. I know about putting your fingers in the corners and then trying to do it, but it all just ends up a big pile that I shove in a drawer somewhere.
Yep. I'm like, I'll sleep on this. That's fine. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
If you love Sinister Hood, then there's another podcast you need to add to your list. It's called Twisted Tales with Heidi Wong. Ask yourself, what's scarier, a nightmare or the truth that inspired it? Those are the chilling questions that horror obsessive Heidi Wong asks every week on Twisted Tales.
Known for her fascination with the macabre, Heidi dives headfirst into the true stories that birthed horror's most haunting legends. Every Monday, she takes you deep into the origins of our darkest fears, from haunted dolls that whisper at night to cursed houses whose walls remember every scream. Each episode reveals the disturbing real-life events that inspired some of cinema's most terrifying classics, from The Conjuring to The Shining to Friday the 13th and more.
But Twisted Tales isn't just about what scared us on screen. It's about the people, the places, and the truths behind the legends. Because sometimes the things that go bump in the night aren't make-believe. They're history.
So turn down the lights, press play, and prepare to question what's real and what's far worse. Listen to Twisted Tales on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, reality is the real horror.
The Wilsons stocked the castle grounds with cattle, sheep, pigs, chickens, horses, and gardens to make it self-sufficient. They also obtained peacocks from Burma and put them in the aviary. After the purchase, the family used the castle as a summer home while living the rest of the year in New York, in later Michigan. Having spent 40 years in service, Wilson retired at the rank of colonel in the 1950s. He used his training to work as an electrical engineer and traveled around the state, helping build every new radio station in Vermont. Wilson earned a handsome post-retirement income with his consulting work, making $500 per hour.
They said pretty much he set up every single radio station in those early days like he was the dude, because he had set up the radio station like at the Vatican. Like he was that guy for Army intelligence. They would send him places to help, I guess, make communication easier between key allies in the U.S. And fuck yeah, when you retire, be like, I can help you for money.
Yeah, $500 an hour? That's, I mean, that's like what attorneys charge nowadays.
For real.
The colonel recalled in later interviews that the neighbors didn't love the castle's new summer residence at first. Johnson's Folly hadn't been truly cared for in decades, so locals were understandably skeptical of the Wilsons at first. The colonel and his wife worked on upkeep while they encouraged their daughters to bring new friends over for a visit. The local children loved playing on the castle grounds and felt at home with the Wilsons. Once the colonel also got involved in the community planning board, the school board, and the Chamber of Commerce, he and his family became a beloved presence in the community each summer.
And it's very sweet when you, like, there's YouTube videos of the castle or whatever. People in the comments will be like, my grandma or my mom would go and play with the colonel's daughter. And, like, there's pictures of them on the grounds as little girls, like, back in the 60s and 70s. So it definitely went from being, like, LOL, this douchebag lives here, to, like, that's a nice family. Like, the family's cool. And, like, yeah. He was just known as the colonel. And they're like, the colonel's legit. He'll help you out. He's, like, a cool guy.
He's a cool guy. They're great people. And what cool pictures to have of you playing at a haunted castle when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
When he was ready to retire from his civilian career in 1962, and with his adult daughters grown, the colonel and his wife opened the castle up for paid tours to help offset the upkeep cost. The family inhabited the third floor in the former servants' quarters, while the other areas were open for tours. The family advertised with local businesses, travel signs along highways, and newspaper ads. Wilson would ask guests on arrival which ad they had seen, then use that research to market more effectively. Soon, the Wilsons were hosting thousands of guests per year.
That's what I didn't get when we first learned that they had just opened it. I was like, how do you even get like a crowd to form? And he, because he was in the Chamber of Commerce and stuff, on site where we parked kind of a little bit away from the front of the castle, there's like a second parking lot. And there's like this kind of old knocked over former tourism sign. And I guess like people would just go driving down main drags back in the day. And there would be these tourism signs that would be like, Wilson Castle is this way, this many miles. This other thing is this way, this many miles. And you kind of worked with other businesses to refer. But I thought it was genius that he was like, so which ad? He would literally make like five newspaper ads, cut them out, cut out copies of them. And then when people would come in, he would be like, point to which one you saw. And then he would just track whichever was the most successful ones. I was like, okay, Colonel.
Very smart. Yeah, he's like doing targeted ads before those are even a thing, just by hand.
Yes. And also like being like, I'm going to be with the Chamber of Commerce so that our names are on these signs to like drive strangers.
Yeah. Upon arrival, guests were greeted by Swiss guards standing out front, wearing authentic helmets from Toledo, Spain, and uniforms that matched those worn by Vatican guards. Once inside, visitors were astounded by the grand architecture and many gorgeous pieces they found, like a marble statue of the Rape of the Sabines, a statue of the Fountain of Youth, finished in gold and silver, old Chinese scrolls and screens, rare Oriental rugs, opulent stained glass, and a Louis XVI chair used by the late Pope Pius XII at the Vatican.
Yeah, they had
an assortment of goods.
When you've got something like, well, where do we keep the Louis XVI chair? Like, where do we keep this? They have this display case that's one of like three in existence that belong to, I think, Louis XVI, that they're not sure if it was the one that was in his castle or one of two others, because none of the three are marked. And I'm like, well, that's a lottery I would take of like, regardless, right? You have a badass thing, but it could be like the badass thing.
Hey, you don't know that it's not.
No, but also you're not going to just pull that up to a dinner table. Like, you've got to have like a place where people can appreciate it and pay money to see it.
You got to have a castle. Yes. Where are you going to store all of your wares? In 1966, the Wilsons suffered a tragic loss when one of their daughters died of cancer. The colonel erected a memorial fountain on site and encouraged visitors to throw change in the waters. He collected the change and faithfully donated it all, usually around $800 every year, to the March of Dimes. By 1975, around 75,000 people visited the castle annually, hailing from over 100 countries around the world. The Wilsons hosted large groups of all ages, from Girl Scout troops to retirees coming from care homes. Artists traveled from as far as Italy to display their artwork within the castle's walls. News coverage designated the place as one of only six authentic castles in all of North America. When asked why he opened his home to so many thousands of people, Wilson told the Free Press,
"We felt that the public would be interested in how people lived 100 years ago. We felt it was a very selfish thing to do to keep this closed."
Indeed, the castle's motto is Tempus Fugate, or Time Flies.
And there's a very cool stained glass lion with a tongue out that is in, when you walk in, it's directly across from the entrance door. And during the daytime, when you open a wall behind it or this door behind it, light shines in through it. And it's this really cool lion. And the castle has taken that and made it into their logo and turned the lion's tongue into a ghost. It's very cute.
It's very cute.
Part of like this whole seal of the castleness. If you're in a castle, you got to have a seal.
Absolutely. And you got to have stained glass. I love stained glass.
Oh, man.
I got to figure out how to get a stained glass piece.
Yeah, like in
just
the
something
house.
You can hang in a window with just like in the kitchen window with all that light filtering through.
It'd be nice. Yeah. And the stained glass they have here, some of them are like borderline entire paintings. Like they're so intricate that I'm like, how do you even make that?
No, it's stained glass has always been fascinating to me.
Incredible.
The colonel's love of the castle was matched by his continuing love of radio. He built a station for himself on the grounds by removing the stalls in one of the barns. As a result, the station's call letters, WHWB, also became known jokingly as "We Have Wilson's Barn." The transmission antenna on the barn's roof was the first directional AM radio antenna in Vermont, a technical milestone made possible by the colonel's engineering skill.
I mean, you got a place for it. You're like, fuck it. I'll have my own radio. I built every other one. I could build one here.
Why not one here too? I mean, he's got everything else. It would only make sense to add a radio station at this point.
Absolutely. And if you go to our YouTube and watch the EVP session that we held in the library / one of the colonel's favorite hangout areas, we're asking a question about, was it AM or FM? And regarding the colonel's radio station, and Christy has on the headphones doing the Estes method, and Nelson said, is it AM or FM? And apropos of nothing, Christy just went, first one, which means you just heard first one, and we're all like, thanks, Colonel, or whoever that was. Like, I guess it was AM.
The Estes method is a trip. It's always my most fun thing to do on our investigations. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen it in action, that's a great example of it, too. Mm-hmm. And we also put it up to the microphone so you, the viewer, can hear what the person wearing the headphones is hearing.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're there?
By 1978, Colonel Wilson estimated that it cost around $60,000 per year to run the castle, or about $300,000 per year in today's dollars. The estate size meant that the Wilsons were the largest taxpayers on real estate in the state of Vermont, second only to an enormous marble quarry nearby. They employed 21 people to help run and care for the 13,000 square feet, 115 acres, and by then, 14 outbuildings. Although the colonel had wired the place for electricity, they still sometimes burnt wood to heat the place when electric prices got too high.
Yeah, he said, I got four stoves. I have electric, wood, fire, and gas. And like, I can, just depending on what costs more money, I'll just switch to that.
That's smart, like, though.
Thinking.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, because it's very nice up there and pleasant, a good time out of the year, you just open some windows, get a nice breeze going through 13,000 square feet. You don't even need an AC.
Yeah, especially in Vermont. I feel like it's never going to get like swelteringly horrible.
When asked by the Burlington Free Press if he regretted buying the house given the upkeep costs, the colonel said,
there's no reason why I should. There's love in this house.
He was still hosting around 75,000 visitors per year by 1978, including 10,000 students from the state's school system. In addition to the grand objects on site, Wilson's stories were a draw. By then, a beloved character of the community, known by locals as simply the Colonel, Wilson was a born storyteller. Guests loved when he regaled them with colorful, if at times tall, tales about the artifacts on display and his own adventures.
Also, 75,000 people per year are coming to your house. Like, you have to love people and you have to love talking and hosting.
Yes, all so of many those thousands. Things. And you hope that your wife does too.
Exactly. And you're like, also take your fucking shoes off when you're at the
door. No, for real though. You're like, these rugs, you have no idea where they're done. From. Yeah. We can't have 75,000 shoes walking over them. Or I guess whatever that is times two.
Because 34,000 and a half-ish?
Most people have two shoes.
Sometimes.
If you have 75,000 people, most likely you would have that times two for shoes.
I think so. Yeah. Everyone just has one shoe.
Yeah, or you all hop on one foot. You're all given one shoe to use.
He's like, you can have one shoe in the house. That's it.
But you do have to have that many people coming through to pay for the upkeep of all of this. So you hopefully like all of it. It's also a necessity, you know?
Mm-hmm. And we went into the part on the third floor where the family lived, and it is kind of tucked out of the way, like kind of behind this wall, but still yet. I mean, yeah. There's something to having that many people just all like, that's what you're doing today. Every day. There's every people day. Coming over.
And you're going to hear strangers' voices and just – we've all had roommates, and you know the feeling when you go home and they're not there and you're like, oh, sweet relief. I can just be at this place by myself. You don't get that at Wilson Castle, even if no one's there because
right,
somebody's always there.
Somebody stuck around. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
In 1981, Colonel Herbert Wilson passed away at the age of 82 following a short illness. His daughter, Blossom Wilson Devine, inherited the property and the responsibility of running it. Blossom had grown up with the castle and was as much a steward of its legacy as her father. She continued to operate the tours and care for the estate for nearly three decades. Under Blossom's tenure, Wilson Castle remained open each summer and fall, enchanting new waves of visitors. She also preserved her father's collections and the remaining original Johnson-era furnishings, keeping the interior much as it had been.
And that was really cool, too. I think the dining table and a couple other pieces were originally from Dr. and Lady Johnson. And you're like, yeah, how do you get a big fucking table that was like built for right? this room? And the room was built for the table even out. So you're like, I guess we're restoring this. But it's badass. It's way cooler.
Oh, yeah. That's the table where all the trinkets were, where the box, and we got to take them out, and it was like a picture and something else from the Colonel where we all sat. Is that the table that's
the one in the library that we had okay. all the trinkets on. We went live from the library. The dining room table is where the lion's heads were on the
okay. Yeah. Fireplace. There were a lot of great tables in this yeah. place.
A lot of great furniture. Every room you went in, you're like, I want to sit on that. And you're like, I shouldn't sit on that.
No, don't sit on that. It's like a Bed Bath & Beyond situation. You're yeah. like, but don't sit on the beds because it might not be a real bed anymore. Some of it's just for show.
Shit was made different in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. But what an undertaking for his daughter, and to mm-hmm. really lean into it and embrace it, because it's one of those things where it could go either way. You inherit something and you're like, I wanted nothing to do with this and I'm going to just sell it off because I don't have it in me. Or you're like, this is a part of our family legacy. It was so important to my dad and I'm going to do my best to fulfill his shoes.
That's what I love, is like, I get why you did this. And he said, this is house is full of love. So yeah, keep it going.
I love it. The radio station WHWB officially ceased operations in 1993, and its remnants were demolished 2 years later. After years of successfully welcoming visitors to her family's home, Blossom Wilson Devine passed away in 2010. The castle then passed to her daughter, Denise Devine, marking the third generation of the family to directly own the estate. Denise and her faithful staff have upheld the tradition of welcoming the public. Although Colonel Herbert Wilson had dismissed rumors of hauntings in the 1970s, joking that stories of hidden passageways were meant to distract from gossip about ghosts, the atmosphere changed after his death. In the years when only a few caretakers or family members occupied the sprawling 32-room estate, strange noises and fleeting figures were reported, whispers that rekindled local curiosity about the castle's supernatural side. During the early 2010s, Wilson Castle began hosting family-friendly haunted events and Halloween attractions, gently introducing the paranormal narrative into its official programming. These events helped generate renewed regional interest while maintaining a playful, community-oriented tone.
Yeah, it was not a haunted house where they're coming out like, with like chainsaws. It was more like
terrible deaths and atrocities occurred here.
It was more like, I'm a medieval executioner. Mm-hmm. Like kind of more medieval and leaning more into the castle thing so that kids weren't just like horrified.
The mid-2010s also saw an explosion in YouTube-based paranormal investigation channels, and Wilson's Castle's gothic architecture and layered history made it a natural fit for this new media wave. According to castle historian Doug Andy Probst, whose parents once worked for the Wilson family, it was these early YouTube explorers who
lit the fire for paranormal interest
in the property. YouTubers such as Exploring with Josh, Sam and Colby, Cinematic Seth, Brother Frank, and Haunted Knight Stephen Dillon began filming investigations within the castle, often staying overnight and sharing their eerie experiences online.
Yeah, in the 2012 to like 2016, 2019, like a local filmmaker filmed a short film in there. They did a stage play of like a horror play in there. So I feel like they started kind of leaning more into the spooky as the years went on. And then, yeah, if you get one of these YouTube channels gets a hit on a video on you, you're booked out. Like, yeah. Game over.
It is. I hadn't really thought about it until reading about this, that there was that like paranormal surge in the mid-aughts where mm-hmm. like ghost hunters just became like the thing to be.
I remember Taps and all that. Yeah, which mm-hmm. we'll talk about this guy. Yeah.
These videos collectively attracted hundreds of thousands of views, dramatically increasing both virtual and in-person tourism to the castle. Reports from these investigations described flickering lights, shadow figures, and EVP, or electronic voice phenomenon, recordings suggesting spirit communication. In particular, the castle's third floor hallway and servants' quarters gained notoriety for their unnerving atmospheres.
And we were live on TikTok as much as we could be because it's in the, the boonies. You know, it's kind of out remote.
The connection was spotty.
The Wi-Fi was rough. But we also just filmed when we were in mm-hmm. the third floor hallway and servants' quarters. And I did the Estes method. And when we were listening afterwards, there was a maintenance worker who had passed away on site. And some of the answers later were like, this kind of lines up with questions we were asking, like, who are you? And it was like working mm-hmm. or something. So again, it's kind of interesting afterwards being like, oh, we didn't really know that area was like the haunted area. Yeah. We just were like, oh, let's try this area next.
It is interesting when we do these to watch afterwards with more context of research and stuff and then be like, oh, mm-hmm. well, we didn't know we contacted the gardener.
right? And it's like, we did not even think to ask for him because we didn't want to, you know, you don't want to feed yourself more information that kind of makes you go, it must be this person or I bet it's this person.
Yeah. I prefer to go in with less information is more attitude in these situations. So I don't like have some sort of bias.
Mm-hmm.
Probst confirmed that while nothing
evil or demonic
inhabits the castle, playful spirits are known to
play tricks on you.
He also described seeing shadow people and captured what he believes are genuine apparitions in photographs. By the early 2020s, Wilson Castle had firmly established itself on the New England paranormal circuit. It hosted Ghost Hunts USA, a professional investigation group that conducts public ghost hunting events across historic American sites. These events regularly sold out, combining structured investigations with local history storytelling. The castle also leaned further into its supernatural reputation on social media platforms like Instagram and TikTok, where the owners shared snippets of alleged paranormal activity and video links to visiting content creators. Denise Devine and Andy Probst began sharing stories about
vortexes and portals
within the castle that supposedly allow spirits to come and go freely. According to their accounts, multiple mediums have detected a spiritual hotspot in an upstairs closet, a claim echoed by several visiting investigators. In 2024, Wilson Castle achieved national level attention when Jason Hawes, the original lead investigator from TV's Ghost Hunters, Taps, conducted a two-part investigation of the property for his YouTube channel. Hawes's team reportedly documented flickering flashlight responses, common paranormal tests for spirit interaction, and captured several EVPs during their stay. These videos further boosted Wilson Castle's reputation among paranormal enthusiasts and introduced it to a new generation of fans. That same year, the castle expanded its offerings to include public ghost tours and overnight, quote, haunted experience events, merging entertainment with investigation for visitors seeking direct encounters with the supernatural.
Well, from watching all these, you kind of get a sense of like what is the more haunted areas and where to go. And then when you look at the history of it, which I'm glad that there's organizations like the Ghost Guild and like the other one we talked about that are combining the history with the spookiness to go, you know, if there is a angry male spirit, who could it possibly be? And it encourages folks to dig into the history as well.
Mm-hmm. It's like a learning lesson while you also get spooked. Kind of like our shows.
Exactly.
The billiard room, once a lively social space for the Wilson family and guests, has become a focal point of unsettling encounters. A longtime tour guide reported hearing the distinct murmur of men's voices one afternoon while locking up. When he entered, the room was empty. But before he could leave, he distinctly heard a gruff male voice bark,
"Get out!"
Startled, he fled, finding no one else in the building. This area, filled with original wood paneling and vintage furniture, is known for amplifying sound and producing unexplained temperature drops, phenomena that investigators have recorded on audio and thermal devices during overnight stays. We got a temperature change when we were doing investigating near the phonograph, if I recall.
The temperature change was up in the attic when we were watching it go. You got to go to our YouTube and see what happened because who knows what the ticking
what
meant.
Happened. What happened there? The castle's third floor ballroom, a vast and largely empty space where the Wilsons once hosted musical evenings, carries a strange energy. Visitors and paranormal researchers have reported phantom music, soft, distant strains of waltz-like melodies, as though a victrola were playing unseen in the shadows. On several tours, guests have also seen flickering shadows dancing along the walls, though the upper-level lighting is minimal and natural explanations are often elusive. Paranormal teams have used EMF detectors and digital recorders in the ballroom, noting sporadic electromagnetic fluctuations in rhythm with the reported, quote, music.
Man, there's some energy.
And they're just, that's the music Heather likes to play when she wants to scare me.
Yeah, freak you out. I'll say they're up there just dancing the night away. I mean, there's music. I feel like music carries energy and like dancing carries energy. So who knows? That might be a powerful way to echo.
Truly.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At the very top of the turret lies the tower room, accessible only by a narrow spiral staircase. Many visitors describe feeling sudden waves of dizziness, pressure, or discomfort upon entering. The small circular chamber, once used for observation, seems to provoke a visceral unease, as if watched by an unseen presence. According to several accounts collected during ghost tours, some guests refuse to remain in the room for long, claiming the air becomes, quote, thick, and that they feel a presence standing behind them, though no one else is visible.
That's a cool room. You get a kind of a 360 view and look down at where people enter in the parking lot. And both Andy and I believe Brooklyn as well, both were like, I like to come up here and be by myself. And I was like, yeah. Or maybe he said it when he was a kid, or the kids like to go up there. But I was like, honestly, I would sit up here.
Oh, yeah. Chill. I feel like growing up there as a kid, or even getting to play there a lot as a kid, next level cool. There's so many nooks and crannies that you could find and stow yourself away in. Hide and seek would be epic.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You become the hide and seek champion.
Yeah. Plus, like, just all the outdoor, just in nature and stuff. But you got this cool ass castle, too.
For sure. Yeah. You might see a dog, like a deer or a fawn or something. And you get to, like,
I don't know, live up. Yeah. I mean, it's got everything. Beneath the servant wing lies one of the castle's darkest legends. The basement was reportedly used as a jail or holding area long before the Wilson family took ownership. While there is no confirmed record of imprisonment, the architecture, narrow stone corridors and iron-reinforced doors, fuels that lore. Visitors and investigators describe the basement as the castle's most active location, with numerous reports of moans, whispers, and metallic clanking chains. Some EVPs have captured what sound like distressed voices pleading or groaning, which many believe to be the echoes of former prisoners, though skeptics suggest these could be environmental noises from the old plumbing system.
And it was not like the Ohio State Reformatory in that it was housing like hardened criminals for long periods. It's my understanding that for just a brief period, they were like, we need a spot that's similar, that could kind of be jailish. Can we keep people down there? And they were like, yeah, for a minute. So it wasn't like super long.
No, but you know,
you never know.
You know who remains. I feel like what could be a ghost in my house can definitely be attributed to the plumbing, because sometimes I'm just like, what is that knocking? And Tommy's like, oh, the washer and dryer's on, or I ran the shower in the other room. And it's just, like, if I live in a house, I don't know when this house was built, in the last 20 years, probably. Yeah. Imagine an old ass castle and the pipes they got and stuff going on.
You had to install after the fact, like after the whole place was even built. Yeah, when my friend Amy came and stayed with me recently, she's like, I'm going to use the guest bathroom shower, which we don't normally shower in. But so I'm not used to those sounds. And I was in the living room going, what? I was like, oh my God, what is that? Okay, that's right. It's Amy in the shower. Because it was like, shh, 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 shh. And I was like, someone's telling me to, nope, it's the plumbing.
Sometimes it's just like clunk, clunk. Clunk, 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 clunk. And
they're rattling their chains to
get out.
What
is happening in the ceiling? Yeah. On the grand main staircase, several guests have reported the sensation of being brushed past as though someone was hurrying by in the opposite direction. Yet, when they turned, no one was there. Photographs taken on this staircase occasionally reveal misty or semi-transparent forms near the banister, adding to its reputation as a central haunt of the castle. Paranormal investigators often describe this as residual energy, a replay of daily activity from the castle's bustling past.
I feel like the staircase would, it makes sense for it to be a residual energy, because if 75,000 people a year, every year from like 1960 something to, you know, probably the late 80s when it kind of died down a little bit, like that's so much energy to remain.
The staircase was a very cool place. It was one of the few places we could get a Wi-Fi connection to. So we went live from that area several times.
We did. But, did we do a tarot pull or I think so.
Yeah. And so. Also, the pendulum
was nearby. Yeah. That's where the music room was, like down where we were by the, mm-hmm. the phonograph.
But in their gift shop was there too, that had pendulums. And I borrowed a pendulum to see if we could get someone to communicate, and you have to watch the video to see if I was successful or not.
But it was moving.
In the library, home to many of Colonel Wilson's personal artifacts and books, a photograph has become one of the castle's most circulated pieces of evidence. The image shows a faint, misty silhouette near the fireplace, appearing to form the shape of a standing woman in a long dress. This photo is often presented on tours as a possible apparition of Sarah Johnson, the English wife of Dr. John Johnson, who originally commissioned the castle in the 19th century. Visitors often describe a feeling of calm curiosity here, unlike the dread of the basement or tower, suggesting that the entity in this space, if real, is benevolent.
And that's where we had that box of items, mm-hmm. including like a report card and things. And then we also had that Estes method answer that perhaps it was coincidence, or perhaps it was Lady Sarah or the Colonel being like, it's AM, duh.
I like that room a lot. And I always just holding like old artifacts and something as personal as like a report card from back then, just feeling like the energy from that and kind of imagining whose hands that's traveled through, even from the first time someone wrote on it, is always just fascinating. Seems like an overused word, but just mesmerizing, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It feels to me, I feel very drawn in, and especially that room, because that's where kind of around the corner some of his uniforms were hanging up. The I think it was a boar that he had killed, its head is mounted in there. And really, because he had brought them all back with him, there is this sort of like, you feel, unlike in the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum, where I'm like, this is all just shit. You're trying to like, you know, be like, it's the craziest thing. For Colonel Wilson's objects, it truly does feel like it was. He had a story behind it. He was felt very blessed to have been able to do all these travels, mm-hmm. and felt a generosity of sharing it with others. And that's what I felt in that room of like, come on in, sit down. There's stuff for everybody. Come on in. So it's a good vibe.
It is. It was. The second floor bedrooms have long been the heart of Wilson Castle's haunting reputation. Guests frequently report cool drafts, the sensation of being watched, and even sightings of a translucent female figure wandering from one room to another. Psychics and investigators often identify this energy as tied to Sarah Johnson's bedroom, located one floor below the attic. Since the 1970s, this particular room has been the site of the most consistent paranormal reports. Phantom reflections, changes in temperature, and unexplained orbs appearing in photos.
And we were doing the pendulum and we had the green dot, which will help to, you know, helps to see if any of the lines get broken. And then also Nelson had another device that went off and scared the shit out of us. But it did go off, which was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Some guests who take selfies in Sarah Johnson's room later discover a faint image of a woman beside them, often described as wearing Victorian-era clothing. Adding to the intrigue, there are persistent stories of a, quote, portal hidden within the bedroom closet, a supposed energy point where spirits can cross into or out of the castle. Though never verified, this legend continues to fascinate paranormal investigators who visit Wilson Castle each year.
It was literally just the wood backing of the closet that kept me from running headlong into the portal like it was platform 9 3/4, because I was like, take me!
Do it. We just see it cut out shaped like you through it. And then it's like the door in Beetlejuice. You just go through it and then you're in the sand world.
Draw a door. Hell yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back. COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Among the castle's resident spirits, Dr. John Johnson, the original builder, is regarded with a mix of humor and caution by tour guides. They often half-jokingly warn visitors that Dr. Johnson
hates everyone,
referencing an ongoing belief that his restless, irritable spirit lingers in the halls. Psychics and sensitives who have investigated the property describe sensing an angry or domineering male presence in multiple rooms, particularly in the library and basement. They often associate this energy with the eccentric physician. According to these accounts, his lingering discontent may stem from the collapse of his fortune and marriage, or his rumored frustration that the home, his life's grand project, passed into other hands.
I mean, I could see if you built it, but then you become a laughingstock and a huge loser. And then the guy that takes it over, like, not only fills it with, like, the dopest of shit, but then also becomes, like, extremely beloved in the community, that Dr. Johnson might be like, fuck you.
Yeah, it's a bit of a slap in the face. Yeah, fuck all of you that are coming in here.
He's like, more like Wilson's Folly. And they're like, no one is saying that. Literally no one. We love the Colonel. Like, shut up. Like, of course
they still call it Johnson's Folly. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. You're never living that down.
Speaking of which, Johnson's Folly. Did you have a nice trip last fall? He's like, stop it.
In striking contrast to her husband's temperament, Lady Sarah is said to be a more playful and attention-seeking spirit. Per Wilson Castle tour guides, Sarah's original bedroom is considered the single most paranormally active room in the house, a space where visitors often report cold spots, the faint scent of perfume, or even a fluttering touch on the shoulder. Guests have described feeling an almost social energy, as if the spirit enjoys the company of the living. One guide quipped that this is fitting, given
she was a woman who liked to be the center of attention.
Photographs taken in this bedroom occasionally reveal hazy figures or orbs, often interpreted by guides and visitors alike as Lady Sarah making her presence known.
She's like, I died before I even got to fucking live here and host anybody. Like, I'm sticking around to like, hello, guests. Come on in. Come on in.
As someone who also likes to be the center of attention, I get it. I would be like, this can't all be for nothing. Hello, I'm in your photo.
Yeah, she'd be photobombing into the afterlife.
But just like a light fluttering on the shoulder. She's not grabbing anybody or shoving anybody downstairs. Just a little like, did you want a little ghostly encounter? Here you go.
She's like, thanks for visiting.
Many visitors and investigators have reported sightings of a lady in white, a faint, luminous apparition said to drift through the ballroom or appear at the upstairs windows after dark. This ethereal sighting has become one of Wilson Castle's most iconic ghost stories, inspiring photographs and countless retellings in paranormal media. Some believe the lady in white is Sarah Johnson herself, her spirit continuing to wander the halls of the home she left behind. Others speculate she may be a former resident, guest, or caretaker who briefly lived in the mansion during its many ownership changes. Another frequently reported apparition is that of a man in a military uniform, often seen standing in the main hall or reflected briefly in mirrors. Visitors sometimes note the figure appears stoic and purposeful, as though patrolling the property. Paranormal enthusiasts and staff believe this to be Colonel Herbert Wilson himself. Others posit it may be the residual echo of a jailer from the property's early history, when the basement was said to have served as a temporary holding cell. Whether protective or restless, the soldier's presence is considered one of the most tangible manifestations on the grounds.
I mean, I would welcome this if it's Colonel Wilson who's there to like, literally no one is going to be a better like monitor of the property than the Colonel at all.
I feel like in the afterlife, Colonel Wilson and Lady Sarah would be besties, maybe be more.
Like, yeah. He's like, what's up? She's like, hello, I've been trying to contact you. He's like, I was busy filling it with stuff. She's like, I know. And I love it.
I love
what you've done. And
if my husband had only listened to me, this is where we would have been.
She's like, finally, somebody with some fucking taste has moved in here. Look at that Louis XVI chair. Look at this stained glass.
Oh, she loves all of it. Yes.
Oh, I think so. Like you said, they became like trading spaces. Like, yes. Friendly. They liked it.
Colonel just takes her around and tells her about everything. And she gets to enjoy the grounds and kind of host him for tea.
Mm-hmm.
She's this like, is all this. The paranormal fanfic I'm going to write.
Yes, 100%. She's like, thank you for keeping this table. It's very nice. He's like, I know, I love it.
Today, Wilson Castle stands as a crossroads between history, tourism, and the paranormal. Its official website now embraces its haunted reputation, referencing the belief in
a portal and a vortex,
and encouraging visitors to request paranormal stories during tours. The castle continues to appear in new paranormal documentaries and independent YouTube projects while still serving as a family-run heritage site. The blending of digital media exposure, grassroots storytelling, heritage preservation has transformed Wilson Castle from a quiet Vermont curiosity into a fixture of modern American ghost lore. So what do we think?
Well, we loved going there. Like we said, mm-hmm. We could not have felt more welcomed. The tour guide, Brooklyn, she's a family friend. Now there's a fourth generation that stands to inherit and continue on the legacy that Colonel Wilson started. So the ghostly part of it was very fun. But at no point was I like, these ghosts want to beat my ass. Like,
no,
these ghosts
no.
want to. Whoever was saying get out, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like somebody was fucking with them. You know what I mean? I don't feel like any of the ghosts were like mean.
No.
That they all really did seem like, I don't want to leave this place is rad. And you're like, okay, fair enough.
I never got a bad feeling or like a negative vibe in any of the places. Probably where I felt the best vibes, honestly, out on the veranda overlooking the field with the lightning bugs.
How did we not mention the fucking huge, like, they have a swing that was built when the house was built
from
the
fucking
1800s, and we all sat on it willingly.
Yeah.
Together
and we were
and
like,
separately.
We're going to find out if this breaks or not. And it did not. It held up. But just
man,
to sit out there. Now, what we didn't realize is the door locks behind you.
Yeah,
and
that did happen.
We did get
times.
Locked out there. What we also didn't realize is if you turn and one of your husbands is just standing in the window staring at you, you will think it's a specter and scream.
Every time. Like, God damn, there's a ghost and it looks like Tommy Brown. What are you doing? It was you the whole time. But no, I did. I love the veranda, especially when you and I were out there alone and we went, looked out and the lights were dimmed and we saw all those, like all of a sudden, just like a million fireflies, like all at once. Because we were looking out of where Wilson's barn / the former radio station was. We're like, oh yeah, that used to be the radio station. And then we're like, oh my God, that's a lot of fireflies.
It was. It was indeed.
We could not believe our eyes.
We could
10
not.
10 million fireflies.
No, we were trying to send our energy out to where the radio tower was as people we don't do radio, but we do something similar to it. Would have blown his mind. And we kept telling him that we're from a podcast, which is kind of like the radio, but more modern.
And
we really think you would like it. Yeah. And you can just listen whenever you want.
Yeah. And also, we're going to put you on YouTube with all these other people that have already put you on YouTube. So we are so excited that you all can feel like you were with us by going to youtube.com/sinisterhoodpodcast, finding our channel, liking and subscribing to the channel, and then watching our Wilson Castle investigation, our USS Battleship North Carolina investigations also on there, as is the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. So you can do a Halloween spooktacular and watch all three. But
that's a great idea.
But definitely check out Wilson Castle, because I feel like as much as we've loved our previous investigations, they were amazing. This one allowed for, because of the, while it's still 13,131 square feet is a lot, but because it was not as overwhelming as either the battleship, which was, it's just got a lot of levels to it. It's a ship. Or Tala is humongous, like 400,000 square feet. So it's like, I don't know if that's true, but it's like humongous. So this was way more, it felt like more manageable, but still gave like so many nooks and crannies for shit to happen.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Tala, 242,000 square feet. You weren't, I mean, you doubled it, but it seemed still like way more than 13,000.
Yeah, it's like hundreds of thousands of square feet. So it is incredible. And we did also see spooky stuff there. But I liked the kind of even a little bit smaller. And hopefully on our next Ghost Guild adventure, if they'll have us, we can find somewhere even smaller than that too, like a smaller house. But we're like going big to small. But I am so pleased that we captured all that we did. And if you can't get to Proctor, Vermont, then this is hopefully the next best thing, is to watch and feel like you were there.
It was so much fun. And I had forgotten about several things that happened until I watched the video back. And I was like, what? I forgot that I felt like I was touched. But it's so it's cool for us, too, because in the moment, it's there's a lot going on. We don't remember all of it. To watch it back and be like, oh, that sent some shivers up me timbers.
Like, oh, fuck, that did happen. So so thanks again to Nelson for taking us. Thank you to Denise, who currently owns the place, to Andy, who oversees everything, to Brooklyn, our tour guide, and everybody that was there hosting us. And we got some awesome merch, too. So if you visit, make sure you get a dope sweater or a hoodie or a t-shirt with a cool logo with the lion and its tongue.
It is. It's great. And it all goes back to helping maintain the property, too, which is amazing. Everyone was so nice. We had a fantastic time. The weather was great. Paris, you did an excellent job at this video. Tommy,
he filmed like a champ.
Also, I feel like he didn't allow me to get attacked by a bat.
Said he protected.
Although you will see in the video that no one, not me nor Heather, knew how close we were to a bat hitting us in the head while doing the Estes method until afterwards. And nobody told us because they didn't want to freak us out. But you can see it happen in when Paris is like, is that a bat? It's real close to my head.
Fuck. Well, yeah, go to YouTube and make sure you watch the whole thing and leave us comments if you've been to Wilson Castle. Yeah. If you've got family members that have memories of Wilson Castle, throw it in the comments. We can't wait to hear.
Yes, it was so much fun. And we hope you all have a ton of fun watching it. And happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And we'll see you tomorrow night for our monster movie party as well on Patreon.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input. We just posted a couple of them, and I can't wait to hear everybody sound off on the comments on them.
Oh, yeah. That's anytime we record the bonus content. It's fun, but it's way more fun when you guys interact. And if you don't know what we're talking about, we also offer free trials. When you join for free, you can stay a free member forever. You get the monthly bonus content. You get Sunday Scaries. But a free trial is where you join at one of the tiers for a week. You check out all the perks, binge stuff, join a live, like our movie watching party, and then cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. So usually when we're doing a special live, like our movie watching party, is a great time to do a free trial to just kind of see if that's actually if you want to commit. Absolutely. And if you do a 1-year membership, because when you do, you get not only a month free, but so much more.
Yeah. And it's a really good time to do your free trial because we just had the quarterly BOCO that you get to watch and a Q&A. So there's a ton of stuff up there right now that you can just watch for free. If you do join, you can get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content that's live streamed. We let you all vote. That's how we got Am I the Spooky Asshole this time, which did not disappoint. You get weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes. We just dropped one about Marina Abramović and the amazing performance artist she has been in her storied career is fascinating. You get merch discounts and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to Sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone that's left 5 stars and kind words. You can submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, submit your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. Don't worry, it's totally free. You just put in your email, you get immediate access, and you get immediate access to a backlog of stuff that we put up there just as a thank you to all of our free members. We will not be having Sunday Scaries this coming Sunday because we will be on our way to Florida for Crime Wave at Sea 2025. We hope to see all of you there. I doubt of you will be there, but we hope to see a lot of you there.
Those of you who are going to be there, we cannot wait to see you. And we've said we're going to try to figure out some way, if we can't go live from the ship, at least make a proof of life video of ourselves from the ship. And we'll upload it to Patreon or socials for something. Sure. Speaking of socials, you can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on TikTok and YouTube to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. Plus, you can watch our Wilson Castle video, as well as our Trans-Allegheny and our USS North Carolina visits. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or maybe you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever accomplishment, we would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's perfect when you don't want to deal with the hassles of last minute shopping. And if you're listening to this before 11:59 p.m. on Halloween 2025, cameos are a special spooky season deal, $25 for a cameo. So go on, load yourself up. You go ahead and shop now. Say like happy Merry Christmas or whatever.
Oh,
and they won't know that you got an early deal. Or if you're just like, I can't fucking hang with this life. What's going on in this fucking world? Shop with us. We love to do tarot pulls, a pep talk, whatever.
Absolutely. I did. That's a good idea that you can get it now and save it because it gets sent to you. So you get to decide when you send it to the recipient.
Yeah, just tell us it's a Christmas gift and we'll put on a Santa hat. Fuck it. Nobody will know.
Nobody will know.
Go to cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy and Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Kayla Reichner,
Emily Sykes,
and Michelle.
The Three Musketeers. Thank you all so much. We love you. We appreciate all your love and support. We hope we pronounce your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Mwahaha.
Sinister.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.